Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Delighted that you're with us. Hurricane Hotline. We are down to three editions of the Hurricane Hotline as we go on summer break the day after Memorial Day for the Hurricane Hotline. Don Bailey Jr. and I are never on break, but we'll take a break from the show. So we do have three shows to go, and coming up tonight, we'll talk a little Hurricanes football. Josh Darrow joins us with a conversation with Nigel Pack, Hurricanes guard Nigel Pack, coming back for another year of University of Miami basketball. What went into that decision of returning to the University of Miami? And good to have Nigel Pack returning. He'll join several other transfers. So we'll talk or we'll hear from Josh and Nigel Pack coming up on the show as well tonight. First, Don Bailey Jr. with us. Good evening, DBJ. How are you?
Doing great, Joe. How about yourself?
Could not be better. We have a start time for opening weekend of college football, which includes, well, actually, it's the second weekend of college football for the University of Miami. So it does include the Hurricanes and the Gators. We have a kickoff time for August the 31st, 3:30 p.m. in the Swamp. It is going to be hot as you know what, but we've got a kickoff time. So first things first, 3:30, August 31st.
Yeah, I like that. I like that time. I like it nice and hot, and give everybody time to get there. And it's what it's all about, Joe. I mean, there's no better place for Miami to start the season in my mind than start right there in Florida Field.
Of course, the cynical side of me says, yes, it's a 3:30 kickoff. And then after we have the weather delay in late August or last day of August in Florida, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody knows. What does it do about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Florida? It rains. There are thunderstorms. So after we have the thunderstorm, we'll probably kick off at 7.
That's all right. We got a big 230-pound running back that looks good in the rain. So I got no problem with that. We got a couple mutters on the roster. So those guys will fit right in with it.
All right. So 3:30 kickoff for the Hurricanes and the Gators. That'll be a lot of fun. When we kick off, this will be the first year of the 12-team playoff, by the way. So we'll get to that in a moment. ACC just concluded their spring meetings. I don't know if they got anything accomplished, but the board of directors or one of the board of trustees for North Carolina came out and said, excuse me, he said, we need more money. We need to be in a better conference that's going to give us more money. So that sent everybody spiraling at the ACC meetings. I don't know where this is all going to end up. I just know the University of Miami has always been relevant. I think eventually we're going to end up with three conferences. And I think the University of Miami will be a member of one of the three, and I'll narrow it down. It won't be the SEC, I don't think. So it'll be one of the other two.
I agree with you, Joe. I mean, you know, I have no idea. It's only speculation and only mine and your opinion, but it's the ACC does need more money. The cost of a football program these days with name, image, and likeness and the bidding in the portal and all those things that go with it, it's up the ante for everybody. So if you're going to be relevant, you're going to have to spend money. If you're going to be relevant, you're going to have to go out and procure talent. Even, you know, it's not that you're paying that fourth and fifth year guys and sometimes sixth year guys are getting a paycheck with a proven background in college football. You also are having to have an expense account set up for the high school players that are coming in. So it's gotten very, very expensive, and everybody realizes it, and everybody has the same thing in mind. We're going to win a national championship, and there's no salary cap right now as far as, you know, what you have in the NFL. So it's really what your university or your program can raise is really what it is. Your collective can raise, and that's how it gets distributed. But it's going to be, you know, it's interesting times. And you talk about inflation, you know, the numbers are going higher and higher and faster and faster. So it'll be interesting to how this thing gets resolved.
Yeah, it's college athletics, as we all know right now, kind of a crazy time. But let's talk about college football. I mentioned we're going to start August the 31st at 3:30 in the afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, August the 31st. If the University of Miami was to go all the way to the championship, football season does not end until Monday, January the 20th. There was a time where they said, we can't have college football playoffs because we can't cross over the semesters. It has to be a one semester sport. Well, now it's going to end on January the 20th. 12 teams will go to the college football playoff, which I think is going to make it very exciting. College football playoff under the playoff format, the four highest ranked conference champions will be seeded 1 through 4. The top five highest rated conference champions get into the playoff. The top four receive a bye. Then after that, you have seven other teams that get into the playoffs. Those will be the top seven teams going into the playoffs to make 12.
Well, it's a 6-month season. You know, you got a month of camp, and then you basically got all of September, all of October, all of November, all of December, all of January. And for the most part, you know, it's 6 months. There's going to be, if you're one of the top four, as you mentioned, you're going to get you'll get a bye week, I believe, early on. And then you'll have to, this year, Miami's got two bye weeks during the season. So hypothetically, Miami would have had, you know, three weeks off during that time period. And, you know, you're getting paid to play football now. So it's a job. And I work 12 months a year. America works 12 months a year. It's a 6-month season, and you get 6 months off, and you're actually 5 months off with a month of spring. It's just the way that it is. You're in the entertainment business now in a lot of respects. And I think that that's a part of it. And I don't know anybody. Well, I should say this. If there was anybody on my team that got tired of playing a game, got tired of competing, got tired of preparing, I wouldn't want them on my team. I mean, you love what you do. And if you love what you do, you continue to want to do it. And I think that's, you know, something that you're going to find out about. I'm not, you know, the way they have changed the number of days in pads in training camp, how they have limited the hours that you are actually allowed on the field and in the building have been cut back significantly from years past. And the NCAA has done a very, very good job of taking care of the student athlete physically. They've allowed them plenty of time during the week to carry on and go to class and have a social life and not be in the athletic building for, you know, 50 hours a week, which everybody who played back in the day, that's what it was, 40, 50 hours. And there was no limits on practice and no limits on meetings and no limits on anything. And, you know, they've got a lot of good rules to help protect the student athlete. And I agree with them. I'd like to see some more coaches, and I'd like to see, a couple more hours of practice added to it. But as it sits right now, the product that ends up ultimately getting on the field is pretty darn good, and is actually great in a lot of places. So I think it's being managed about as well as it can be, and it doesn't bother me. I hope I'm busy until the end of January. It'll be fine with me.
The assumption is that the champions will come from ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac, Big Ten, Big 12, not the Pac-12, they're gone. But no conference will qualify automatically, and there are no limit on the number of participants from a conference. So you could win your conference, probably not likely to happen to win a major right. conference like the Big Ten or ACC and not end up in the playoff, but I guess there is that possibility. The New Year's Six bowl games are now rolled into the quarterfinals and the semifinals. So
yeah.
Bowl games will be a part of it. However, it also means less teams for other bowl games.
Yeah, it will. It's gonna end up being interesting how it gets sorted out. I mean the conversation at the end of, or the first weekend in December, you know, is all going to be about, this is for the 12, right? I mean, all these playoffs for the most part are for the 12. And I'm sure a team or two is going to sneak in that maybe didn't go into their, and just because of the numbers part of it, but it's going to be interesting to me. And, you know, every other sport, I remember having a conversation about this years ago, and before it even, you know, I'm talking 15 years ago, this, when it just started getting floated around about college football having playoffs, well, you know, baseball has it, basketball has it, you know, the NFL has it. How does college football not have it? You know, that was the question before all of these grew roots and have grown into something big. But, you know, and now it has it. I like the number of 12. You know, I really do. I'm a big fan of that number.
So when we start the season, the question is going to be, can Miami get into the 12? The simplest way to do that is win the ACC. Now, I just mentioned nothing's guaranteed, but, you know, you win the ACC, Florida State's jumping up and down and go, hey, yeah, hello. But you assume if you win the ACC, you get to the playoffs. But here's the two early top 15, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama. Those are just some of the teams that we start with that you're going to have to, you know, you assume those teams are going to get it in. So can Miami build a team to be good enough to get into that top 12?
A big part of it, a big, big part of it is going to be August 31st.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you look at the Miami schedule and they don't have Clemson this year, and you've got an opportunity to play Florida, and you got an opportunity to play Florida State. And I still believe, until proven otherwise, that the state champion, which Florida State was last year, has got a pretty darn good chance. And all we're talking about it, I'd say if you're the state champion this year, and everybody, because everybody's playing each other in the state of Florida, you'll be in the top 12. If you don't implode, but I mean, take Miami, they beat Florida at Florida. That's going to carry some weight. I don't care if it's 1 point or 100 points, that carries weight. You beat Florida State at home, Florida State's going to be a darn good football team. I think that it'll carry a ton of weight.
You're going to have to deal with the other teams that are expected to have big years, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. We don't have to talk about these teams. Clemson, we'll talk about them. Michigan, of course, they're the defending champs, lost half their team to the NFL. LSU, Brian Kelly, his third year at LSU. Some would say, hey, in his third year at Notre Dame, he played for the national championship against Alabama. You mentioned Florida State. They'll be in that mix. Penn State was 10-3 last year. Pretty good team. Tennessee, 9-4 a year ago. So you don't have to win the ACC necessarily also to get into that playoff. You just got to get into the top 12. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Hurricanes offseason, and we'll talk about dark horse teams, dark horse candidates in the ACC. Because we know that the competition, as you just mentioned, Florida State, Clemson, but who else might be challenging in there for the University of Miami? And one of them, for sure, is on the Hurricane schedule, a dark horse candidate. We'll do that as we continue. Also coming up on the show, quick one-hour show as we lead you into soccer tonight. We had soccer coming up. So still to come, Josh Darrow and Nigel Pack. First, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac. Everybody in South Florida, if you come to South Florida, you come here, you want to have some luxury. And if you're driving South Florida roads, you want to have luxury and safety. And if you want to have that luxury, you want to get the best out of the South Florida experience, well, there's only one place to do that, and that's Williamson Cadillac. Now, is there a competition to get a new car? Probably not at Williamson Cadillac, because every day new models are arriving. And this means at Williamson Cadillac, they're going to have the vehicle you're looking for in their lineup. The CT4, the CT5, the XT4, that's what I'm driving, the XT5, the XT6, and the all-new electric Lyriq. And every single day, those cars are arriving at Williamson Cadillac. So if you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, visit Williamson Cadillac. Now, when you visit Williamson Cadillac, what are you going to find? Well, you're going to find the absolute best in customer service, because Ed Williamson has been in business for over 50 years. You are not in business in this town for over 50 years if you don't know something about customer service. And he does, because all of his customers, he treats them like neighbors, like friends, like family. So if you want to enjoy the best in customer experience, I highly recommend Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your premier luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show, Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr., Josh Darrow joins us on our next segment with Nigel Pack. Hurricanes announced today in 2027, they're going to play Troy at home. In 2027, so they added Troy to the schedule. Northwestern, by the way, sidebar note, their stadium is under construction. They're playing two games at Wrigley Field this year as their home stadium, and they have a makeshift home stadium. They're going to play two games at Wrigley Field. I think you can only go in one direction at Wrigley Field. I think you have to go the same way. Every time the team scores, they have to go in that same direction. I don't think you don't get to choose the wind or anything. You have to go in the same direction.
Are you sure about that? That just sounds a lot.
I think so. I think the goalposts, I think because one end of the field, the goalposts are right up against the wall.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. You're the baseball guy. I mean, I'm not going to argue that.
We're getting to the time of the year where everybody's going to pick who's going to win the ACC, and it's probably going to be the choices are going to be Clemson, Florida State, Miami, most likely. But Miami's first ACC game is against Virginia Tech. They return 22 starters. Their quarterback, Kyron Drones, threw 17 touchdowns last year, only 3 interceptions. He accounted for like over 2,000 yards. Pretty dangerous quarterback. Great edge rusher, Brent Pry, in his third year. He's got Virginia Tech sort of looking like Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think that was the whole key why they hired him. They wanted it to look like Frank Beamer and, recruit the areas where they've had success all through the Beamer area, at Tidewater area and Virginia, and, go cherry pick some kids around the nation, but mostly stay in that Virginia, Maryland area. And, they wanted the toughness. They wanted the special teams. They wanted the defense. And as you mentioned, they've got a bunch of starters coming back. And, you know, as you know as well as I do, that's as tough a place to play as any. So half the year they got an advantage, even if they don't have an advantage, by having to play there. So I think that's a team, Joe, that once they get they find the consistency in recruiting that they were lacking with the last coaching staff, that I think you'll start seeing them come around. And, you know, Virginia Tech is used to winning on the football field, and they want to get that back. And, you know, another team that I don't think should be overlooked and Miami has to go there is Louisville. You know, Coach Brohm is a disciple of Coach Schnellenberger, and, I mean, they're a tough football team, and they've gone out and done pretty darn well in the portal themselves. They picked up some guys off of this roster, or, you know, Chaney's there at the running back spot. But, you know, they've got their head coach is a pretty smart offensive guy and can create problems. So, you know, they're going to be another team that you got to go on the road if you're the University of Miami and deal with them.
Another dark horse team. I think they're really a dark horse of dark horses, but they're a pain in the ass to the University of Miami, and that's Georgia Tech. And Haynes King is back. Last year, he tied for 12th in the FBS in passing touchdowns. He had 27. Their leading rusher, Jamal Haynes, is back. Their receiver, Malik Rutherford, is back. Eric Singleton can fly. He's back. Defense is probably average, but they loaded up on a bunch of transfers. And for whatever reason, they always seem to play Miami tough.
Yeah, they do. And Miami's, you know, plays them pretty darn tough. And then I'm not – look, you know, Miami lost the football game last year, and I'm sure we'll discuss it many, many, many times for the rest of our lives. But you go to Georgia, you go to any team that you play, and you're the team that's the visitor. If you're on the road, it's tough. And Georgia Tech, to me, it's, you know, if I had to choose one of my favorite stadiums in the country that we've been to time and time again, it's there. And but Miami should be able to handle that situation. Haynes King's a heck of a quarterback. He was highly recruited and originally went to Texas A&M and transferred over. And I think that it'll be a good ball game. You got both head coaches are, you know, former offensive linemen and all line coaches. And, you know, there's a brand of football that comes with those guys. And I think you're going to see that. And it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I don't buy this whole thing about an easy schedule or an easy opponent. How do you know anymore? I think 5 years ago, you and I could be pretty darn accurate, but you just added, you know, 15 or 18 true freshmen that came in, and you might've added that many more guys in the second round of the portal. So yeah, I don't think anybody knows really anything. It's all hypothetical and what you think from last year. But last year's teams, if you look across the country, just look in Coral Gables, last year's team's not really going to resemble a whole lot of this year's team. You know, you're going to have quarterbacks that are different.
the team that we saw in spring football is not going to resemble that team.
Right. No, you're 100% correct. And I think that, you know, it makes it a lot different to try and talk about projecting who's going to be good or who's not, or what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there. We haven't even talked about injuries, and we haven't even talked about academic issues. We haven't talked about suspensions. And, you know, it's, you know, the NFL, you know, you got your 53 guys and some guys on the practice squad. But those names are pretty consistent. And 5 years ago, we knew who was a, you know, coming back and who was going to be here. And we've watched who was going to be the projected starter. And that's just not the case anymore, Joe. I don't know. You know, you can say Haynes King this, but who's he throwing to, and who's he giving it to, and who's new on the O-line and who's new on the D-line? And the same thing goes for everybody. It makes it very, very interesting.
We're getting to the time of the year where, in the past, you could start messing around with the opponent's roster and, you know, take a look at it, study it a little bit, mess around with what you're up against, but not anymore. Now you got to wait until the middle of the summer, I guess, to sort out who's playing for who. University of Miami roster could still change here in the next couple of weeks. That opening day, I mentioned Miami plays at 3:30. At noon is Georgia and Clemson. And then after the Miami game is Texas A&M and Notre Dame. Clemson, that's going to be a big game for Dabo Swinney, who, again, has not gone into the transfer portal at all.
Even less, you know, even it really – he's not touched it. He's probably the guy that's touched it the least in the country. You know, Georgia has been pretty darn selective, but they have positively gone into it and tried to upgrade their roster, but not in a wholesale fashion as somebody like Colorado. But you look at that football game, and, you know, Dabo ended up having a tough year by Clemson standards, but he ended up putting some things together. And he ended up getting on a little bit of a roll, and he's very confident. Clemson's very confident on how they're running their program, and that they're not diving in and into the portal. They want to develop their guys. They want to groom their guys. They want them to be their guys. And Georgia's been as good a football team as there has been in the country the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, Clemson's going to have their hands full, but it'll be interesting to see, for Clemson's sake, how, if they have a year similar to last year, if they're going to be, you know, forced to change their philosophy on how to manage the portal.
That's going to be a statement game for both teams, because Georgia obviously did not make the playoff last year and crushed Florida State in the Orange Bowl game, albeit a shell of the Florida State team. I probably don't know enough about the way Dabo handles his roster. But there's got to be something in there where if he's just relying on high school players, and certainly there are spots on his roster he could have filled with portal players. He must have, I don't know what his magic sauce is when spring football is over, to keep everybody on the roster. Because when spring football is over, you saw a plethora of players flood into the transfer portal from around the country.
Well, I imagine, Joe, when he recruits them out of high school, he talks to them about it and makes sure that at least they give him his word at that stage of the game that, you know, they're committed to Clemson. And he explains the Clemson way to them on how we're going to do it and why we're going to do it. And this is why you need to be a part of it. And it's the same, you know, it's their sales pitch for Clemson. And, you know, aside from last year, you know, there's been a bunch of wins going on there. And last year, a lot of people would have taken that deal, that record as well. But, you know, to me, again, I think Coach Cristobal's got it right. I'm not passing on anything that can help me win more football games. And if I'm Clemson and I have built the trust of my players that this is what we're going to do, and I'm going to do, but if a receiver's out there that can help me win, to help me beat Georgia and get me into a playoff game, and I got a chance for him, then I think I should do it. I'm not a big believer in what Deion Sanders has done, and it seems to have somewhat backfired on him at Colorado. He had some big name guys leave, and he went out and, you know, basically built a new football team off the transfer portal. And he won 4 football games. So, you know, you got to find a happy median on to where it works for you, but not to take a pass on an opportunity to upgrade your program. Especially coming off a year where you were not as successful as you've been in the past, I'd have to think twice about it.
All right, we'll talk more about all this stuff next week. Another show next week. We'll talk more Hurricanes football. And thanks for joining us. Josh joins us next. So enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Joseph. You too.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. joining us. We've got soccer knocking on the door, Inter Miami and Orlando City. When we come back, Josh Darrow, Behind the U podcast with Hurricanes guard Nigel Pack coming up next.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty. It's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.